There are new calls today for the British Parliament to reconvene after a couple of major developments. First, a Scottish court ruled that Prime Minister Boris Johnson's shutdown of Parliament was unlawful, implying that he had lied to the Queen about why he wanted to shut down Parliament. Second, a secret document outlining the worst fears of the government in the case of a no-deal Brexit was released, and it isn't pretty. It warns of food and medicine shortages and protests and road blockages on the border between Northern Ireland, which is part of the UK, and Ireland, which is part of the EU. We're joined now by the Irish ambassador to the United States, Daniel Mulhall, in Washington. Ambassador, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to talk to you.
Well, what are your biggest concerns, or what are the biggest concerns of the Irish government at this point about a possible no-deal Brexit?
Well, the problem is that this is an unprecedented situation. I don't think any country has ever left a free trade area as advanced as the European Union and put nothing in its place. For example, imagine if the United States were to leave NAFTA and put nothing in its place. Think of the disruption that would cause. I mean, the US has replaced NAFTA with the USMCA, and that's currently undergoing ratification. But meanwhile, the NAFTA agreement remains in place so that you have continuity. The problem is that if Britain leaves the European Union on the 31st of October without a deal, it goes from having a completely smooth and clear trading relationship with its nearest neighbours to having nothing, to having to start afresh. Mm-hmm. And this is, nobody is quite sure how this will work out, but the documents produced by the British government this week were certainly alarming. But the problem is that there's an uncertainty factor in that nobody can be sure, because this kind of thing has never happened before.
Are you worried about violence on the border between Northern Ireland and Ireland?
I don't like to talk about violence. We have two concerns. The first is that we have a major trading relationship with the United Kingdom, which has been operating within the single market for the last 20 years, completely free of any restrictions. If you introduce a situation where Britain is no longer in the customs union, no longer in the single market, no longer in the European Union, our trade with Britain is bound to be affected to a negative degree, and that will be economically damaging for us. But the more serious political problem is that there will be a great deal of uncertainty on the border between Ireland and Northern Ireland, because if the UK is outside the customs union, Ireland will be obliged to protect the European single market. So the problem will be, how do we maintain an open border in those circumstances? Our government's determined to maintain an open border because we think that having any kind of border controls on the island of Ireland would be risky. It would be politically risky. It would be economically disruptive, of course. That's one thing. That's important too. But the political risk that would entail is the one that we are really concerned about, because peace in Northern Ireland has saved so many lives over the last 21 years. The United States played a big role in 1998 in bringing about the Good Friday Agreement through the chairmanship of Senator George Mitchell. But that peace is fragile because there hasn't been a government in Northern Ireland now for 2.5 years or more. And this means that there's a bit of a political vacuum. And if you toss into that political vacuum the disruptions created by Brexit, it just ratchets up the political atmosphere in Northern Ireland in an unhappy way, an unwelcome way. And that's what we fear.
But these are fears that have been around now for 3 years since the Brexit referendum. And it doesn't seem like any plan has been put into place of like what's actually going to happen as soon as the end of next month. Why do you think that hasn't happened yet? Nobody's come to an agreement about what to do about the Irish border.
Because it's easy to say we're leaving the EU, but after 45 years of European Union membership, leaving has turned out to be a far trickier prospect than anybody imagined when the referendum was taking place. When the referendum was on, I was ambassador in the UK, and there was very little attention paid to the Irish border. The assumption was everything will be fine, don't worry, no problems. I did try to warn people at that time that there would be difficulties, and those difficulties have become the crux of the issue between the UK and the European Union, because Ireland is the only place in Europe where there's a land border between the European Union and the United Kingdom. And the problem is that we had an agreement, by the way, between the previous government and the European Union on a withdrawal agreement, which included a backstop that would guarantee mm-hmm. there would never be border controls on the island of Ireland. The current British government wants to scrap that backstop. It says it has alternative ideas that could achieve the same end, but we still await proposals. And our Prime Minister, Leo Varadkar, said publicly that we would welcome alternative proposals, but they have to be legally watertight. They can't just be political promises. We have at the moment a backstop which gives us legal certainty. And if there is to be an alternative, it has to achieve the same certainty rather than just being a political promise.
Do you think that the government of the UK is going to come up with a new deal before the end of October? They've been told by the British Parliament that they cannot crash out at the end of October without a deal, and they're supposed to go to Brussels in mid-October and try to reach a new agreement. Do you think that that will happen?
Well, we certainly hope so, because Ireland would be the country, apart from the UK, that would be most affected by a disastrous Brexit of the kind that a no deal would bring about. So we earnestly hope that we will be able to find solutions. But ultimately, we had an agreement. The British government says it's unable to adhere to that agreement. Therefore, it's really up to them to come up with new proposals as to how they think that agreement can be replaced, and then for us to have those negotiations and hopefully reach a solution. I take some comfort in the fact that my experience, and I've been 40 years now in the Irish Diplomatic Service, I spent a lot of time in Brussels at meetings, and the European Union has a great capacity for achieving agreements, even when you think it's not going to be possible to do so. And therefore, if the British government is genuine in seeking a deal, I would have some hope that we will be able to find some solutions. But it really does require the British government to specify clearly what it wants and how it hopes to achieve the outcome. The EU have said we have two concerns. One is to protect the European single market, and the second is to protect peace in Northern Ireland and the Good Friday Agreement. Those two aims would have been achieved by the withdrawal agreement and the backstop. Without those aims being achieved, no agreement can be reached, in my view.
Do you think there's a possibility that there will be a second referendum for the British people to decide whether they really want a Brexit?
I couldn't possibly speculate on that. I mean,
would you like there to be one?
I represent the Irish government. Look, we have benefited greatly from EU membership over the last 45 years. Our country has been transformed. And part of that transformation has been that it has led to much better relations between Britain and Ireland, because we've been partners around that table in Brussels over the last 45 years, which has allowed us to come together to deliver peace to Northern Ireland. So we like the status quo. We would like to see Britain either, well, if it wishes to remain in the EU, we'd be delighted. But if it leaves the EU, we want to see Britain as closely aligned as possible to the European Union, so as to minimise the disruption to relations within Europe and to relations between Britain and Ireland and on the island of Ireland. Those are our aims. I mean, how exactly those aims are to be achieved, well, really, that's a matter for the British people, the British Parliament and the British government to determine.
Of all the hypotheticals that are out there, I have to ask you about another one. Is it possible at any point in the future that Ireland would just all be one? That's a solution to this problem, is for Northern Ireland and Ireland to just be part of Ireland instead of part of the UK?
Well, the Good Friday Agreement of 1998 provides for the prospect of a referendum in the future when there is evidence that there might be a majority in Northern Ireland that would favour a united Ireland. And both governments have agreed to respect any decision by the people of Northern Ireland about their constitutional future. That prospect is there, and we have to wait and see what happens in the years ahead. Obviously, the way Brexit works out will have an effect on thinking in Northern Ireland. But for me and for our government, that is an issue for the future and not an issue for today. The issue for today is how to avoid damage being done by Brexit to the precious peace we've developed in Northern Ireland and to the very close relationship that has developed between Ireland and the UK, because those relations are vital for both countries.
I want to ask you one more thing, Ambassador, that has nothing to do with Brexit, which is okay. You're the ambassador in the United States. Obviously, Ireland and the US are very close.
Yes.
However, the recent polls that have come out of Ireland show that President Trump has something like a 13% approval rating in your country. Has that made your job at all difficult, that our leaders are not popular in your country?
The job of an ambassador is to deal with the situation as you find it. We don't determine who the President of the United States is. You don't determine who the Irish Prime Minister is or the Irish President. What we have to do is to deal with the administration and the Congress as we find it. And I have good relations with people in the administration. I talk to them on a regular basis. I try to make sure that they understand Ireland's thinking when it comes to a range of issues on trade and on Brexit and on Northern Ireland and so forth. I have not found my job to be in any way impossible because of the fact that there are clear political divisions. Those divisions exist in all countries. After all, I was the ambassador to the United Kingdom during the Brexit referendum, and that was a pretty divisive time.
Which one's been more difficult?
So I'm used to dealing with situations where not everyone in the political spectrum agrees with each other. Look, that's just part of it's part of life. You know, you deal with the field of play as you find it and not as you might want to design it yourself.
Is being the Irish ambassador to the UK right now considered a hardship assignment? Because
No, it's obviously challenging. It was challenging when I was there, challenging now. It's always challenging. You know, it's our nearest neighbour, and my colleague there does an extremely good job. But obviously, it's a time when things are going through a certain state of flux. But I think there's a commitment and a determination on our part and on the part of the British government that whatever happens, we have to have the closest possible relationship with our nearest neighbour. Because after all, the two countries are co-guarantors of a very important peace process in Northern Ireland. And whatever happens, we have to make sure that peace process is preserved. And in that, we enjoy the support of US administrations over the last 25, 30 years. Nobody wants to see the clock turn back in Northern Ireland. So that's something that I think is vitally important and will remain important whatever happens to Brexit in the next 6 weeks.
That is Irish Ambassador to the US, Daniel Mulhall. Ambassador, thank you so much for joining us.
You're very welcome.